guitar.
It's game time.
Quiet, please. I am analyzing.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Is the next step the transplantation of the human brain?
Ballsy. Stupid, but ballsy.
Stand by for action.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Okay.
Remember, we're not dealing with an intelligence on our own level.
Bring in the logic probe!
Ooh!
End of line.
Noble Knight Games has been serving the needs of thousands of gamers worldwide since 1997. Huge selection of over 30,000 unique products, including discounts on most in-print games of up to 50% off or more. Noble Knight Games is the place for out-of-print RPGs, board games, war games, collectible card games, miniatures, and all things game-related. They ship worldwide and will purchase or trade your titles you no longer need, new, or used. Your satisfaction is guaranteed. Just visit www.noblenight.com. Or visit our website for direct access to thousands of new, out-of-print, and in some cases, one-of-a-kind items.
This is the Vorpal Network.
This podcast is brought to you by FRP Games, an online retailer specializing in all kinds of gaming products. Please visit www.vorpalnetwork.com in order to gain access to thousands of unique items available only at FRP Games.
Stand by for action.
Gamer's Haven Special Edition.
Well, this is Ethan with the Gamer's Haven Podcast, and I am here with Mr. Colin McAllister from Lone Wolf Development. And that's not Wolflayer, it's Lone Wolf Development. I keep wanting to call you guys Wolflayer.
Unfortunately, LoneWolf.com was taken by somebody else.
Squatters, obviously.
Yeah, it's actually a wee company that is using it, so we just use Wolflayer. We have done for years, and so that's the website now.
I'll still refer to them as Squatters then. we don't own GamersHaven.com. I think last time I checked, it was some casino site or some gambling thing. I'm like, whatever.
Nice.
But I'm sitting here with Mr. Colin McAllister here from Lone Wolf Development, and they're the fine folks, the fine software developers that brought us such a great title as the now second time any nominee, Hero Lab. You guys also have done a few other things with gaming software in general. You did Card Vault, and you've done Army Builder as well. So. Which one of those came out first, if you don't mind me asking?
So, everything started back in, I think, 1998, which is, crazily, it's like 12 years ago now, with Army Builder.
Mm-hmm. I had no idea that was out that long. Wow, really?
Yeah, it's been around for a long, long time, and the reason that... So, Rob is the president of Lone Wolf Development, mm-hmm. and so he started working by himself on Army Builder because he was... In his gaming group, they were playing, you know, Warhammer, and mm-hmm. half of the people in his gaming group couldn't do math, and the other half couldn't obey the composition rules.
Uh-huh.
And so he decided that he should write software so that have a program called Army Builder that should add up the numbers for you and also should make sure you don't break the rules of, you know, taking mm-hmm. three guys on dragons in your army.
Right.
So that was Army Builder was 1998, and then that got updated quite a bit. Card Vault came out, I think, in about 2000, I think Card Vault was when I joined the company, which was 2002.
Mm-hmm.
And that added support for collectible card games and miniatures games, Mage Knight, HeroClix were very big at the time,
right.
And then also Magic the Gathering, and that sort of thing. And then we went back to Army Builder, we updated Army Builder, and then after a while we came out with HeroLab as well for role-playing games,
mm-hmm.
And here we are today.
Excellent. And when did HeroLab first come out? Was that, was that 04 or 05, or am I just way off the point there?
I think it was 06. Okay, I think it was I think it was either the very end of 05 or the very end of 06, I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember it because it was one of the most horrendous times that I've ever experienced in my adult life, where for weeks at a time I was going to bed at midnight and then getting up at 4 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
so I could get the D20 system data files working for HeroLab.
Right, right.
And then we ended up shipping on... I think we ended up shipping on Christmas. We had told people it would be out by Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And so we released version 1.0 at like 2 a.m. on Christmas Day. And then I had plans to go back to go back and visit my family for 2 or 3 weeks. And we didn't have, we hadn't been able to get so much stuff implemented in version 1.0, and so it then became a mad scramble to get everything that we missed, like, you know, important things like being able to add your own feats or mm-hmm. races.
Oops.
And so we spent about 3 weeks doing that, and we just scraped getting that in at mm-hmm. like 4 a.m. the day that I left, and then so 4 a.m. we make the call, okay, we're good to go. Mm-hmm. 6 a.m. I leave for the airport.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
All right, well, for the benefit of our listeners, what is it that you specifically do for Lone Wolf Development?
So I'm one of Lone Wolf Development's lead developers. Mm-hmm. I work on all of our existing products, on Army Builder, on Card Vault stuff,
mm-hmm.
mostly on HeroLab and Army Builder these days. And Lone Wolf is by most company standards, Lone Wolf is a really small company.
Mm-hmm.
We've been expanding a bit recently, so we're now up at I think 4 full-time employees at the moment. But that's still spread over 3 existing products and mm-hmm. then 2 upcoming products that are still in development. And so everybody pretty much has to do everything. And so I'm a lead developer for Army Builder, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And so that means I get to design new features for Army Builder. I get to actually code those features. I get to draw the art for those features.
Mm-hmm.
I get to answer customer support emails. I post on our forums answering questions people have about Army Builder, whether they are, you know, does Army Builder do this, or how do I make an Army Builder army that does that.
Mm-hmm.
And I also just keep an eye on just generally how Army Builder is doing on the web, like just mentions of it elsewhere. So basically, and that's pretty much what everybody does. Everybody mm-hmm. has all these different hats that they have to wear. Like I also do the website and do a bunch of art stuff and graphic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just how we have to do it because we're such a small company. We can't really have a full-time designer. It has to be, everybody has to be good at what they do, and then half a dozen other things that they need to do their job.
Mm-hmm. Now, with the development of software for role-playing games and for tabletop hobbies, is there anything that is sort of distinct to that arena of software development that you are familiar with that is not in other areas?
Software development in general, or mm-hmm. other gaming software?
Really, any gaming software. Yeah, really anything you want to talk about there.
So the main thing the reason that we did HeroLab last mm-hmm. is because role-playing games as a whole are so much more complex than mm-hmm. anything else, like card games or miniatures games.
Right.
So I don't know how familiar you guys are with Army Builder.
Mm-hmm. Very familiar. I have played Warhammer Fantasy quite frequently using that.
So. Okay, awesome. So with Army Builder, basically every single game system looks the same,
mm-hmm.
and the extent of the customization, other than, you know, writing scripts to increase or decrease statistics,
mm-hmm.
the extent of the customization that the user sees with Army Builder is that for Warhammer, the stats on the column titles read move, weapon skill, ballistic skill,
mm-hmm.
and so on. but there are other games. There are War Machine has totally different stats. Flames of War, totally different stats. Mm-hmm. Those are the only. That's the only thing that you'll see if you look at Army Builder for different games. Mm-hmm. You'll have a different list of units and a different statistics for those units. Compare that to Hero Lab, where every single game system, even the ones that are all D20 based, like D20 and Pathfinder and Mutants and Masterminds, and then to a certain extent D&D 4th edition and other games like that, even the ones that are all based on the same core mechanics, they all have to do radically different things.
Mm-hmm.
And so for Army Builder, the way that Army Builder works is that the authors write scripts that tell the units to do different things and make sure that you don't have too many, you know, HQ choices or troops choices or core choices or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
With Hero Lab, not only do you have to do that, but you also have to design the entire user interface for the game system. Because if you don't have a user interface that cleanly fits the game system, it just makes the software a chore and just not fun to use.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can kind of see, if you look at an Excel spreadsheet-based role-playing game, Character Creator, for example, they work, but they're just not fun to use.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas for Hero Lab, what we've tried to do is make an intuitive, a helpful program. So for each different game system, the way the heroes for the game system are displayed in a different way that makes sense for that game system. And so each game system works in its own unique way, and so we can modify Hero Lab to support the wacky things that each individual game system does.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still that consistency, so that let's say that you're playing D20 and you're one of the players in your group says, hey, I just picked up Pathfinder, I'll GM it.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, okay, great, you switch to the Pathfinder game system in Hero Lab. You can still you still know the rules of how Hero Lab works.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's giving you this huge head up in actually making a character. And then you maybe try another game, and okay, the game works differently, but you still know how Hero Lab works, and so that gives you this huge boost in creating a character for that game.
Mm-hmm.
That was really the big thing, the major thing with Hero Lab, because each game system is just works so differently that we had to not only let the data file author create their own mechanics for the game,
mm-hmm.
but also create how the game would be displayed as well. I mean, even down to being able to create the character sheets,
mm-hmm.
because character sheets for different games are just totally different.
Right. And you guys have something that's interesting that really you don't do with Hero Lab, but you do with with Army Builder. Probably the product that you guys have that I'm least familiar with is going to be Card Vault.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as I know with that one as well, is you guys have a user-supported sort of a data file system, isn't that right?
Yes. So for Army Builder, there are so many... this is still true to an extent today, and it was even more true, you know, 5 or 10 years ago when we released Army Builder.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many different games out there that there's no way that that we could... have basically us working full-time not just on the Army Builder engine but also on supporting all these different games.
Mm-hmm.
Because that means whenever, you know, a new army book comes out for some game, okay, we need to go and support it.
Right.
And on top of that, there's also licensing issues where certain game companies don't want us to do official data files for their games.
Mm-hmm.
And so in those cases, we actually can't work on certain games for legal reasons.
Sure.
And so what Rob did when he created the software was he wrote the Army Builder software, and then independent data file authors, mm-hmm. who are usually just technically savvy players of those games,
right.
Write the data files for the specific games. And so as a result, there are a bunch of different data files for Army Builder games, all of which are written by users.
Mm-hmm.
So the 40K data files, there's a team of guys who work on those. The Warhammer data files, there's a guy that does those. And it's all just different people working on the games that they like to play.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an advantage in a lot of ways, because firstly, it gets people who are passionate about the game. You don't end up with... If somebody really wants to see Army Builder data files for their game, well, they can just go ahead and write them,
right.
And they're not gonna, and instead of asking us if we will support Random Miniatures Game 5000 and us saying we don't even know what that is, because it was released, and maybe in certain cases the game maybe was released years ago and is now out of print and the company has disappeared,
right?
And so legally we couldn't, but a volunteer can just go ahead and write them, and then we can distribute the stuff for them, and that's not a problem. For Hero Lab, we don't do that because basically because of what I was talking about with the user interface stuff.
Right.
It's hard enough to write data files for a miniatures game, an army builder.
Mm-hmm.
Once you then add the complexity of, okay, you also need to design the user interface, that makes it a whole lot harder, just because partly because there's just a shed load more work that you have to do that,
right.
And partly because most people aren't really that great at coming up with good designs for stuff. And so for Hero Lab, what we had to do was basically we recognized that there's going to be this extra complexity. And so what we decided to do was we will license the top games in the market. So we were trying for, you know, Dungeons and Dragons, Pathfinder, Mutants and Masterminds, all those games.
Right.
And then what we've done is we've released the authoring kit.
Mm-hmm.
And using the authoring kit, authors can modify games, or they can go ahead and create their own games.
Mm-hmm.
But that means that they have to do all the user interface work as well as the writing the mechanics.
Right.
And so for Hero Lab, because of all the extra complexity, we've gone out there and licensed games from various people,
mm-hmm.
so that we could do what we think is a really good job on them ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Now, logistically speaking, especially talking about Army Builder real quick, what kind of hurdles do you guys have to overcome when, say, a major company decides to put out a new edition of their rules? Because we all know that, you know, Warhammer 8th edition just came out.
Yes.
So
the interesting thing about Warhammer 8th edition, mm-hmm. We keep an eye on big new games that are coming out, because mm-hmm. we want to make sure that the Army Builder can support them.
Sure.
And usually what we have to do is we'll look through a game, we'll identify any new interesting mechanics in it,
mm-hmm.
and we'll figure out how to support them in Army Builder. The interesting thing about Warhammer 8th edition is that the interesting new mechanics in it
mm-hmm.
are the composition requirements. So
right.
instead of saying you can have up to two heroes,
mm-hmm.
you can now spend up to 25% of your points on heroes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly how Warhammer 5th edition worked.
Oh, yeah?
And so, 3rd and 4th and 5th edition worked.
Mm-hmm.
And so Army Builder actually already supports that.
Oh, nice.
And so for Warhammer 8th edition, it's basically the data file author is going to presumably update the data files for 8th edition at some point.
Mm-hmm.
The Games Workshop authors usually wait like a month at least before updating the data files, because they're just getting the books with everybody else, but partly
right.
because that gives Games Workshop a chance to, you know, actually have the books out there, and so everybody goes and buys them and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But there aren't actually any new mechanics needed in Army Builder for the new Warhammer game, because it's going back to these kind of old style
sure.
composition rules, and the actual army creation rules apart from that are pretty similar, and that's generally a trend that has just been happening over miniatures games.
Mm-hmm.
There aren't all the miniatures games now are really getting simpler,
right.
and they're a lot simpler than they used to be. And so Army Builder is powerful enough just to handle all the crazy stuff that they do
mm-hmm.
already.
Now, do those same sort of logistical issues come into play? Obviously, with something like Hero Lab, if they drastically change the system, because you guys had. Hero Lab out for 3rd edition Dungeons and Dragons using
mm-hmm.
using the OGL.
Yep.
And then obviously the 4th edition has come out now. And you do have a form of support for that.
Yes.
With the authoring kit.
Yes. So the deal with 4th edition is that so we can support 3rd edition under the open game license
mm-hmm.
Because it's open content, and as long
right.
as we don't do certain things,
mm-hmm.
like at the time you could there were some kind of silly restrictions. So at the time you couldn't use the D20 logo and
right.
have like automatically rolling dice, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And so we supported 3rd edition under the open game license. 4th edition, we support the mechanics, and then we allow users to basically download all the content from the D&D compendium.
Mm-hmm.
and that which Wizards gives access to for D&D Insider subscribers. Mm-hmm. And that way users get access to all the 4th edition content. Mm-hmm. But we still had to... I think I worked for about... It was many weeks to retrofit the Hero Lab, or to retrofit our game system so it could support 4th edition. Mm-hmm. And we're kind of seeing the same kind of thing with Mutants and Masterminds right now. So Mutants and Masterminds are just coming out with, or Green Ronin is just coming out with DC Adventures, right. which is the same rule set as the new version of their Mutants and Masterminds system. Mm-hmm. Although the new Mutants and Masterminds isn't officially releasing until the fall.
Right.
But Green Ronin has actually been really good to work with, and they gave mm-hmm. us like advanced copies of rule books and so on. And so for a little while, I've been working on massaging the Mutants and Masterminds second edition data files mm-hmm. into support for the new edition. Mm-hmm. And so when that happens, it takes a while just to incorporate the changes that they made. I really like some of the changes that they made in DC Adventures mm-hmm. because they fundamentally simplify the game system
right.
without removing any of the interesting bits.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's been a lot of fun to just go through and hack bits off. Don't need that. Don't need that. Don't need that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it's definitely a major undertaking.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing is we just got a license with Pathfinder, mm-hmm. and so we're working on supporting the Advanced Player's Guide for Pathfinder mm-hmm. right now, which is releasing at Gen Con.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of going to be a race to get as much of that stuff implemented as we can
mm-hmm.
before we have to leave for the show.
Sure.
And then we'll get the other stuff in. We'll get the other stuff in after that.
Right. Which, of course, you know, I was going to ask, you guys are going to be at Gen Con, obviously, with the any
yes.
nomination.
Yes, we are in booth 1417.
1417. I will have to remember that. Now, I mentioned the any nomination for Hero Lab. You say it's the second nomination that you guys have managed to get. Why don't you go over a little bit what you guys have added to Hero Lab since your last nomination, and sort of your feelings on where Hero Lab has gone since then.
Let's see, what we've added since our last nomination. The main thing that we've added is, well, we've kind of tightened up a lot of features. I don't know that we've really added many new things.
Sure.
We've come up with I think we added improved support for encounters, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So you can show the tactical console and see a bunch of players and NPCs track how they're interacting in a combat or in a non-combat encounter.
Mm-hmm.
We added support for stock heroes. So for Mutants and Masterminds, for example, we have hundreds of stock portfolios so you can use pre-generated characters in your games.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be adding the same thing for Pathfinder, adding the NPCs from the Game Mastery Guide. That's an awesome thing, I think, because that means you can just go to, with just a couple of clicks, hey, I need a third level ranger. Bang, there he is.
Right.
The main thing that we've added, I think, has been also improved editing support. It's now a lot easier to edit and create stuff like character classes
right.
and so on in Pathfinder. But the main thing that we've added has been new game systems. We've added Call of Cthulhu, which is a very nice game with a long history.
Mm-hmm.
We've added Cortex.
You guys kind of snuck out the Call of Cthulhu one on me, I know. I just sort of looked in my Hero Lab one day. I was like, "Call of Cthulhu, where the heck did that come from?"
Yeah, the license getting the actual agreement didn't happen until a lot later. Getting the actual license agreement signed didn't happen until a lot later than we thought it would, and we don't like to announce stuff before we get the license agreement signed,
sure.
just in case something goes wrong. And so we ended up
don't want to get our hopes up. I know.
Yeah, exactly. and so that kind of came out very, very subtly. We also if you're a Call of Cthulhu player, check it out. We also came out with a Cortex system, which supports Battlestar Galactica RPG, Serenity RPG, and the Cortex RPG.
Mm-hmm.
And then the biggest game by far has been Pathfinder,
right.
Which is the updated D20 3.5, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And that was our big game that we released simultaneously with the rulebook, with the Pathfinder rulebook at Gen Con last year. We were pretty proud about that. But those are the main things. And so HeroLab, over the last couple of years, HeroLab has gone from supporting, you know, a handful of games mm-hmm. up to supporting, I think we have eight, we'll be going up to 9 or 10 very soon. Mm-hmm. And so we've added all these new games, and so as a result, HeroLab is basically becoming the standard for character creation.
Right.
Because we just have this breadth of support for everything.
Mm-hmm. And you already sort of let it slip a bit that you are going to be updating Mutants and Masterminds for the new edition as well.
Yes, we're going to have a demo of that at Gen Con.
Fabulous.
Hopefully, let me see.
I know I, when you guys first got that, I waited patiently for that data set to finally come out. So
yes, like I said, Green Ronin has been excellent to work with, and so we've been looking at that for a while. And so I think the plan as of an email I got at 5:40 p.m. today is to have a beta version of the Mutants and Masterminds 3 dataset available at Gen Con. Mm-hmm. The PDF for DC Adventures is out now. Mm-hmm. And so people are already playing with it and posting on our forum saying, hey, we really want HeroLab data files. And then Green Ronin will also be selling. They'll also have some copies of the book to sell at Gen Con as well. Mm-hmm. And so we want to get. It's not. I don't think it's going to be complete quite, but we're going to get everything that we can included,
sure.
so that players can use HeroLab for DC Adventures. At that point.
Excellent. Well, is there anything that is on the horizon for Lone Wolf development that you can talk about?
Let's see, for HeroLab, we've got the Pathfinder Advanced Player's Guide coming out at Gen Con. We're also going to be releasing a bunch of packages, including the Pathfinder Companion and Pathfinder Campaign Setting content for that. We're going to have Mutants and Masterminds 3rd Edition mm-hmm. in the next few months. We're going to be hopefully releasing Shadowrun support at mm-hmm. the end of this year, start of next year. We're not 100% sure on the timing of that yet.
Sure. And that's something you guys, I remember you guys saying something about that quite some time ago.
Yeah, we've been working on that for a long time, and yeah. there's just been so much wackiness happening
well,
with the Shadowrun
yeah, I mean,
stuff for years. I mean, not even just recently. I'm
yeah,
talking
well,
about years ago where WizKids had it, and then WizKids was then
right.
people were leaving WizKids, and then WizKids was bought by Tops.
Yeah.
And so all this stuff just mm-hmm. it was like a perfect storm of stuff that we needed
yeah,
not happen.
I'm in pre-law, so I can only imagine the amount of red tape that was flying through that. So.
Yeah, and a lot of it was we would, you know, get everything sorted out with. So, for example, at the start, we would get everything sorted out with whoever we needed to get sorted out with,
mm-hmm.
and then he would leave, and somebody new would come in, and so we'd have to start basically from scratch.
Yep.
And they would be obviously just starting their new position, and so the first thing that they were looking to do was not license a character creator, which they may not even
right.
understand fully what it does. And so that would just get put on the back burner. But yes, we're very happy to get Shadowrun officially licensed.
Mm-hmm.
Because partly because I'm a Shadowrun GM and player myself, and I really want to use it.
Well, anyone who's made characters for Shadowrun knows that a computer platform will help immensely.
Yes, absolutely.
Alrighty.
So that's for HeroLab. For Army Builder, we're going to be releasing a Army Builder 3.3.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a free update for everybody with an active license.
Cool.
And we're going to have some... we're going to be announcing that on our website very soon. So I guess you're the first person outside of Lone Wolf to hear about it. We're going to have improved support for choosing images for your units. We're going to improve the way that units are displayed.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to add customizable output so you can create custom output for your different for your rosters. We're going to have widescreen support so that if you have, like so many people do, a larger monitor than normal these days,
mm-hmm.
You'll be able to use that space more effectively. And then we're just going to have a bunch of other improvements for users and for data file authors.
Mm-hmm.
We also have two new products coming down the pipe. There is Tournament Ace, which is a tournament management software.
Mm-hmm.
We've been previewing that for a while on our website. We're hoping to get that into beta testing pretty soon. And then there's Realmworks, which is kind of a companion software to HeroLab.
Mm-hmm.
And Realmworks is going to be all about creating content for your game. So creating a world if you're a GM
mm-hmm.
And that sort of thing. So we have plenty of stuff coming up very soon.
It sounds like you guys have been very, very busy.
Oh, yes.
Now, just a few more questions for you. Are you a gamer yourself?
Absolutely. So I got started. Gaming when I was 16, playing Epic Space Marine Second Edition with my friends, and that gaming group it was a bunch of us, and one of whom was Chris, and Chris's father Philip was really into gaming, mm-hmm. and so with them we kind of went through every single Games Workshop game there was, sometimes multiple times. We went through board games, role-playing games, briefly card games, mm-hmm. And so we basically went through everything, including, you know, Dungeons and Dragons, Warhammer, Battlefleet Gothic, Warhammer 40,000, just game after game after game. Mm-hmm. I stayed with doing that in college, and then after college I got the offer to come and work at Lone Wolf. And as I've been working here, I've still been playing, you know, miniatures games, mm-hmm. And role-playing games mostly. And a few weeks ago, I was GMing a Shadowrun game. So yes, we're all gamers, and we kind of have to be, because the reason that we can make software that people like is because we know what they want. Mm-hmm. And the only reason that we know what they want is because we are our target market. We can look at Hero Lab and see what would I. Oh, hello. We can look at Hero Lab and see what would I want for my for a character creator or for army builder. What would I want when I'm building an army? And we can work on that stuff instead of having to, I don't know, use focus groups or just guess, which we don't have time for.
Sure.
But yes, everybody in the company is a gamer, and in the gaming, and I think that's a lot really how it is in the gaming industry. You have to be.
Well, speaking of the gaming industry and that sort of thing, one thing Gamers Haven is really all about is sort of spreading interest in the hobby and the sort of the love of the tabletop hobby. And mm-hmm. being that you guys sort of have, or sort of the cross-platform type of thing, where you guys have electronic or computer aids to tabletop hobby, what is it about the hobby in general that you love so much?
I personally love. It depends. For miniatures games, I enjoy it because it's a test of skill. It's seeing you can make the best army and who can play best, and then it's also just fun and hanging out with your friends.
Mm-hmm.
And then for role playing games, for me, it's the stories, either telling stories or participating in stories, and because that's. Because that's something that you can only really do with people,
mm-hmm.
and who you like hanging out with, and who you enjoy gaming with. Because you can computer-based RPGs like, you know, World of Warcraft and so on have been really making inroads into role playing,
mm-hmm.
and. The only thing that, and I play World of Warcraft, and I really enjoy, you know, running around and killing boars just because while I'm watching TV or so, because it's something to do.
Sure.
But the thing that World of Warcraft or any other RPG can't do is can't sit back and say, okay, what do you do, and have an unlimited, as long as you, the players, and the GM have the imagination. There's basically this. Unlimited thing for there's unlimited opportunities. You can go anywhere and do anything. And if one of the players says, "Okay, I do really weird thing X," the GM can think, "Oh, that's interesting. I hadn't considered that, but let's go with that. Let's run with that."
Mm-hmm.
And so you can create the story yourself, which you kind of can't really do in computer games beyond the, you know, do you help this man or shoot him in the face?
Sure.
So that's for me. That's the that's what I enjoy about games is the choice and the you know fun stories as well as just the hanging out with friends aspect.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I thank you for taking the time out of your schedule to talk to us over here at Gamers Haven.
Thank you. It was fun.
Good luck for you guys at the Ennies. I know we're pulling for you. We're going to be doing an Ennies special coming up very soon, probably released
Sweet.
Next week. So. We're all big fans of Hero Lab over here and of your work over at Lone Wolf Development, so we're definitely interested
Great.
To see what's coming out soon and what you guys have come, what you guys have in store for us, basically.
Awesome. Well, thanks for the chat.
I will drop you an email. You know, when this goes out on the feed, I'm going to try to get it out next week, sort of get it out before the voting for the NES is over. So
perfect.
Let you know.
Yeah, we'll be putting out an email newsletter about getting out the vote and so on ourselves. Right. So that will be excellent.
Excellent. All right. Well, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Great talking to you.
Take care. Bye.
Why is there no one to talk gaming with around here?
What you need, my friend, is the Gamer's Haven.
Gamer's Haven? What's that?
The Gamer's Haven is a podcast that talks about all sorts of tabletop games, RPGs, card games, board games, and more. And if you have a need of a fix of role-playing, listen to one of their many actual play podcasts. They have ones for Deadlands, Dungeons & Dragons 4E, Pathfinder, and more. Just go to www.gamershavenpodcast.com to find them.
Wow! Are you some sort of sage?
No, I am just a guy from New Jersey doing a really bad accent. Go to the Gamer's Haven now!
Been listening to the Gamers Haven podcast. Subscribe to the show by visiting our website at gamershavenpodcast.com, where you can also discuss all things gaming in our forum, drop us an email, or just peruse our episode archives. You can also call us toll free and leave a message to be played on the show by dialing 1-877-416-1270. That's toll free 877-416-1270. On our website, you'll also find our actual play podcasts chronicling our misadventures through all things role-playing. Enjoy what you hear? Why not support the Gamers Haven by purchasing Gamers Haven merchandise, visiting our affiliates, or just by clicking on our donate button? The Gamers Haven podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial, Share Alike 3.0 United States license, some rights reserved. Some music in this podcast is used with permission of Joe Hero Band at joehero.com. This is a Thousand Monkeys production.
This concludes the broadcast from World Control.